From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Debbie Elliott. Legal efforts by the parents of Terry Schiavo appear to be coming to an end. A state judge today rejected another attempt to have the feeding tube reinserted into the Florida woman, and Schiavo's parents will not press the federal courts further. Her husband, Michael Schiavo's attorney George Filo, spoke to reporters outside the hospice where she's being cared for.
If there's anything that I think Mrs. Schiavo would want, is not only to die with dignity and peace, but to also have the country at peace over this matter.
The Terry Schiavo case has highlighted the tension between some Republicans in Congress and the courts. Last weekend, Congress passed a special law directing a federal court to hear the Schiavo case anew because members were unhappy with the outcome in state courts. When federal courts refused to intervene this week, there was an outcry on Capitol Hill. For Congressman Steve King of Iowa, the Schiavo case is one more reason for Congress to rein in the courts. He's been an outspoken critic of what he calls judicial activism and is part of an informal group of representatives called the Working Group on Judicial Accountability. I spoke with him on this Easter weekend from his home in Iowa.
What we have today is a judicial branch that's totally out of control, a judicial branch that rejects the Constitution itself and a rejected federal law. So it's time for Congress to assert its rightful constitutional authority over the courts.
What is that rightful constitutional authority?
Well, first of all, the Constitution establishes only one federal court, that's the Supreme Court. All other courts, and they're called inferior courts in the Constitution, being federal courts, are all creatures of Congress. Congress created all of the courts, all the federal courts. Congress grants them jurisdiction. So whatever Congress gives, that it can take away. If we wanted to abolish the Ninth Circuit, for example, we could do that. Now, I'm not going to say I think that's the prudent thing to do. We could also cut the budget. We could prohibit the Justice Department from enforcing the orders of the court. There are many, many tools we have to bring these courts back in line to respect the Constitution and the rule of law.
But doesn't that sort of just open up that the law could change with the whim of the majority, subject to the political winds? Who would then be the arbiter of the law?
Well, if we get off base, if we get too far out of line with the will of the people can go to the polls and vote us out of office and vote in some new people that will respect the law in the fashion that they deserve. But it's not the case with the courts. They're mostly lifetime tenured justices that aren't challenged, they aren't at risk, they're accountable to no one. The Congress is accountable to the people. The Constitution has established the authority of the Congress over the courts precisely because the Congress is accountable to the people.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what you think Congress should do?
I haven't put together a comprehensive strategy yet, but we have the authority to do a lot of things, and one of them is to cut the budget in certain locations along the way, and you can expect I'll be standing on the floor of Congress with the amendments to do that. We can limit jurisdiction if we choose to do that, and I'm not sure that gets the job done.
Cut the budget for the courts?
We can do that. If they're not going to listen to us any other way, if we pass a law, a specific law, and they reject that law, then the authority that they will begin to understand is when their budget starts to dry up, we'll get their attention. And that's not my preferred method. My preferred method is to have them respect the Constitution and the law. But they are counterproductive to this country, and if we're going to preserve our Constitution, we must get them in line.
But can we sustain a constitutional republic when Congress, when courts, certain courts don't do things they don't agree with, they just take your money away?
Yes, in fact, that would be an act that would preserve our constitutional republic in order to punish the courts that don't follow the law. You know, the thing that I think that's missing here is Congress passed a law. It was specific. The federal courts didn't find the law to be unconstitutional. They ignored it. If they would have held court and held hearings and found the law to be unconstitutional, we could have a discussion about that. But they've not. They've just with impunity walked on their own separate way as if 535 people in Congress elected by 282 million people and the president elected by a majority of the people in this country don't have anything to say about public policy. That is the issue here. Are the courts going to run this country or are the people going to run this country?
Now here to talk with me about Congressman King's remarks is Seth Stern, a legal reporter for Congressional Quarterly. Thanks for being with me, Seth.
Thanks for having me.
So, do Congressman King's remarks reflect the views of the Republican leadership in the House?
Well, some of it was a bit extreme, but certainly it does reflect real anger with the judiciary, what they view as judicial activism, a court that doesn't interpret the law, that it makes law.
How widely are his views shared?
Well, I think there's a large proportion of House Republicans who are concerned about the judiciary and have voted for bills recently to curb its jurisdiction or divide up troubled circuits and take other steps to curb judicial power.
Are there conservatives who feel at all ill at ease with tampering with the existing relationship between Congress and the courts?
Certainly there are Republicans in Congress who have expressed unease. They are firm believers in separation of powers and do view this as an unwise and improper imposition on the courts.
The law that was passed in Congress on behalf of Terri Schiavo's parents put the spotlight on these members of Congress who want to exercise more control over the courts. Can you lay out some of the other legislative proposals on the Hill that would rein in the courts?
Sure. One thing that they've talked about is curbing the jurisdiction of the courts. That's called court stripping. Specifically, they've talked about taking away jurisdiction over the issue of gay marriage and over the issue of the Pledge of Allegiance, that it would remove entirely the lower court's jurisdiction to hear those issues.
Does Congress really have authority to do that?
Well, the Constitution does create a Supreme Court, and the lower courts are the creation of Congress, and they do have the authority to change the lower court's jurisdiction. Having said that, there's been a tradition in the country since Marbury versus Madison of judicial review for 200 years that it is the judiciary that reviews the constitutionality of laws. So it does go contrary to 200 years of legal precedent.
It's just hard for me to sort of grasp the concept that Congress can pick and choose certain issues and say, hands off.
In history, there are other examples. It kind of swings depending who is in power and who's in control, the ideological control of the court. In the 1920s and the 1930s, it was a conservative court. And you heard liberals who were complaining about the composition of the court in the early 1930s. There was a bill passed, the Norris-LaGuardia Act, that limited the ability of courts to issue injunctions in labor disputes. After World War II, it shifted. There were mainly conservative concerns about what they viewed as a liberal court, so calls for jurisdiction about busing, or about later about abortion, about desegregating schools. So you see it swing back and forth.
So where does this sort of clash between the judiciary and Congress, where is it headed, do you think?
I think you're going to see this Congress again attempts to change the Ninth Circuit, which many conservatives view as the most liberal U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. I think you're going to see more of the court stripping bills. What's behind this is really looking ahead towards the battles over nominations for judges. The Schiavo case and the court's reaction to the bill passed and signed by the president, that this will be used as justification for the sort of judges that the country needs.
Thanks for joining me. Seth Stern is a legal reporter for Congressional Quarterly. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you.